Greetings, friends, and welcome to session number 8 of the Emotional Eating Breakthrough Program. I'm Mark David, founder of the Institute for the Psychology of Eating. Thank you for being here. Thanks for being with me on this journey together. I really appreciate your time, your energy, and your efforts. The title of today's session is Emotional Eating and Weight. I remember years ago seeing an advertisement for a weight loss program, and there was a picture of a woman, and the caption read, "I've lost over 2,000 pounds. A little shocking, right? And then as you go on to read the ad, it describes how this woman had dieted for decades, and over many, many years, she gained weight, lost it, gained it, lost it, and the net result was this huge number. And even still, when I think about it, it breaks my heart, because we shouldn't be living like this. It's no secret that we live in a world where losing weight is it's an occupation, it's a preoccupation for a significant number of people. It's been estimated that the worldwide weight loss industry is upwards of $500 billion per year. I think it's more. Many people find themselves dieting for a significant percentage of their lives. I've worked with so many clients, so many students who've been dieting since their early teens and have continued to do so into their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and even 70s and 80s. One of the best kept secrets in the weight loss universe is that over 98% of all people who lose weight on a weight loss diet gain it back within a year, and many of them gain more. That's a crazy statistic. So clearly, and you know this, the way we go about, the collective we, the way we go about losing weight just hasn't worked. One of the main reasons why our global weight loss approach is so ineffective is that the vast majority of weight loss strategies are based on outdated science. Specifically, the outdated science of calories in, calories out. Since the dieting craze started in, I don't know, the 1960s, late 50s, the gold standard of weight loss has been eat less, exercise more. That's calories in, calories out. Now, think about it. If this approach was truly effective, it would have worked a long time ago. It's not like people are lazy. That's what we often hear. You're lazy, you don't have willpower. I've met so many dieters, and they have been the hardest workers, the most motivated people. They have stuck to diets for as long as they could. They tried really hard. They exercised hard. That strategy does not work. The human body itself is not a simple input-output calorie-burning machine. The science and psychology of weight loss is far more complex, and it actually differs from person to person. So I'm not going to go into those details here, but what I want to say is this. What I've learned over 4 decades of working with weight is that each human being who wishes to lose weight has their own unique and special weight loss journey. And that unique weight loss journey, it's a great teacher. It's here to teach us. The more we can listen and learn what life is asking of us, just like with emotional eating, the sooner we can graduate, the sooner we can get where we need to go. Now, one of the reasons why the eat less, exercise more approach doesn't work is because it's creating a physiologic starvation response in the body. Let me remind you about what that means. The physiologic starvation response. If you're suddenly stranded on a desert island, you find yourself in famine conditions, survival biology thankfully kicks in. The moment the brain senses a consistent lack of food in the environment, in the body, calorie-burning metabolism wisely, instinctively, automatically slows down. The body will do its best to store weight, store fat, not build muscle. Muscle's your calorie-burning tissue. And when there's a lack of food, the body cannot help but do its best to help you survive. So the punchline is, dieting mimics famine conditions. Dieting is telling the body that there's little food in the environment, that we're in deep trouble. We're starving. We're in a famine. And we better slow down calorie burning. We better store weight. We better store fat. Dieting is literally instructing and training your metabolism to fatten up the body because lean times are happening and lean times are ahead. The exact opposite of what you're trying to accomplish. And yeah, there's people who do manage to lose weight on a low calorie, high exercise diet. And if you've done so, you know that it is unsustainable. Long-term, not sustainable. So let's dive in and take a look at some of what I think are the most important connections between emotional eating and weight so we can begin to unlock both of these and see if we can forge ahead with some simple concepts. The reality is, for so many people, emotional eating and the desire to lose weight go hand in hand. So many people that I work with who are emotionally eating are either trying to lose weight, or they're trying to maintain their weight, or they're afraid of gaining weight. And they might not come and say to me, you know, I'm here to lose weight. They're going to say, I'm here to deal with my emotional eating. But what they're really saying is, I'm here to lose weight, and emotional eating is preventing me from losing weight. So let me work on my emotional eating. Now, for a great number of people who wish to lose weight, wish to be at a certain shape, that's a profoundly emotional affair. We want to be the weight that we want to be at because we believe that's going to make me happy. All good things are finally going to come to me when I've reached my weight loss number. People are going to love me. Life is going to bestow its greatest gifts on me. I'll be fabulous. I'm going to be full of confidence. My problems will disappear. My love life is going to prosper. I will have won the game of life. So we invest a tremendous amount of just magical and miraculous faith in hitting that weight loss number. Think about it for a moment. Do you have a weight loss number that you tell yourself, once I reach this number, I'll be happy? So many people put a fantastic amount of belief in a specific number of pounds or kilos, a number that they invent somewhere in their minds. We invent that number. Literally just make it up. We put it on our altar and we worship it as if it's an infallible God. We put all of our life force into bringing this weight loss number into existence. And then we might find ourselves on the scale every day. Weight goes up, I'm happy. Weight goes down, not so happy. Weight goes down, I plummet into despair, into guilt, into shame, into self-attack. And I go into a black hole in my own creation. So we've essentially given our power away to the tiny little machine, the scale, to tell us how we should feel. Number down, feel good. Number up, feel like crap. And we will obey the little machine. So first, got to stop giving your power away to the little machine. You got to stop worshiping the number that you invented, that you have put so much religious scientific belief in. You got to stop being so dramatic. You don't need a scale to tell you how you should feel about yourself. Toss it in the garbage, step on it first to make sure you kill it. I'm really serious about tossing away the scale. This is about you reclaiming your power and your dignity. Life is just too short. Now, for so many people, the desire to lose weight is powerfully and secretly driving their emotional eating. And it makes the emotional eating even stronger the more we get frustrated around not losing weight. Here's what I mean. When you want to lose weight, you're going to do your best to limit your calories. You're going to limit your food intake. You diet. You meal skip. You go low calorie. And because the body won't tolerate being underfed, it's not going to tolerate being undernourished. It's not going to tolerate nutritional deprivation. Because our survival mechanisms will not allow us to starve, the brain is going to eventually scream hungry. And so you will be neurologically driven to eat. Your survival physiology is kicking in. But of course, we don't see it that way. We simply see ourselves, I'm a failure. I tried a diet, I couldn't. We see ourselves as being unable to control, unable to have the willpower, unable to follow my religion. The religion being dieting. That is going to take me to the promised land. We believe inside of us that failing at dieting is equivalent to failing at life. That's how dramatic we get. If I'm failing at dieting, I'm failing at life. And then as we're eating, because we're being neurologically driven to eat, we think we are emotionally eating. But the body is simply trying to help you survive. You cannot fight your biology. You cannot fight the intelligent design of your own body wisdom. So the desire to lose, the desire to lose weight and our perceived failure at having enough willpower or mental fortitude is so often driving our eating. And we label that eating as emotional eating. We label the brain's brilliance to scream hungry at us when we're starving, essentially. We're labeling that appetite as emotional eating. Incorrect. It's not really emotional eating. It feels emotional in the moment. It is emotional in the moment because we're investing emotion in it. Because we're defining it as emotional eating. But if you take a step back, it's biologically driven eating that has a brilliant reason for its existence because you've been starving your body. You're calling that dieting. You think dieting is noble and dieting hasn't worked for you sustainably. But you're doing it anyway. Okay, there's more to the connection between weight loss and emotional eating. When we want to lose weight, food invariably, as we've seen, can become the enemy. Appetite can become the enemy. And when these toxic beliefs are present, you go into the physiologic stress response, sympathetic nervous system dominance. Whenever the brain senses enemy, we're automatically rerouted into fight or flight chemistry. It's instantaneous. Your appetite is now deregulated, and you're driven to eat more. Additionally, stress response is signaling increase in insulin and cortisol. Over time, those elevated hormones are going to drive the body to store weight, store fat, not build muscle. So now we're failing even more, which is going to have us emotionally eating even more. So our mind, our beliefs are driving us to eat more, not your lack of willpower. And because we're constantly failing at the overall goal of weight loss, or we're failing at the overall goal of perfection, I got to have a perfectly controlled appetite. I'm failing at weight loss, which means I'm failing at life. Ouch, you're going to feel bad about yourself. We don't want to feel bad about ourselves. The whole point of dieting is to feel good about yourself, to get a result where you feel good about yourself. But here I am left feeling bad about myself. And what do you do when you feel bad about yourself? You're going to want to turn to food. Once again, I hope you can see the vicious cycle here. Let me state this in another way, because to me, this is so important for those who emotionally eat and are personally driven to want to lose some weight. You're trying to lose weight on one level because you don't approve of who you are or how you look. You believe your life won't truly be worth living until you do lose weight. That alone is going to make you want to emotionally eat because you're living in a constant state of self-rejection. Nobody wants to be self-rejected. If you had the perfect body and the perfect weight, and somehow we can put you in an environment where everybody is just causing you to self-reject. They're picking at all your faults, and they're insulting you, and they're attacking you, and they're not being kind to you. You're going to want to emotionally eat. You know, on top of all that, holding the toxic dietary belief that food and appetite are my enemies, that by itself creates an ongoing stress response, which by itself, the stress response, deregulation of appetite, drives us to emotionally eat. On top of that, if you're on a diet, you're skipping meals, or you're eating low calorie, or you're eating too low in fat or low in protein, all of which can cause a specific nutrient deficit in the body, which will drive you to emotionally eat. So we keep compounding, dieting keeps compounding on us. Neurologically driven appetite and hunger because the body thinks it's starving. And because we are in such an unhappy personal state, unhappy emotional state, we're driven to turn to food to get rid of that unhappy state. My friends, self-attack never leads to sustainable weight loss. Misery and suffering never leads to a happy ending. The reason you want to lose weight is because you believe you're going to be happy once you have the end result of that ideal weight. But you can't possibly end up at a destination of happiness if you're self-attacking and self-rejecting all along the way. The journey you take will always inform the quality of the destination. If the journey is filled with a lot of bad words aimed at self, if it's filled with unhappiness, what are you going to expect as the destination? It's fine to have the desire to lose weight. It's fine to put your efforts into weight loss. So the key here is to love yourself into weight loss. Or at the very least, if you can't love yourself into weight loss, like yourself into weight loss. What does that even mean? Loving yourself into weight loss means that if you want to lose weight, then you have to start with the body that you have right now. You got to start somewhere, and you have to start with where you are in any endeavor in life. Anything that you choose to do, you're going to take a trip somewhere. You got to start with exactly where you are in order for you to get to the destination where you want to go. It's just how things work in the universe. So you have to start. If you want to get to a goal of a shape-shifted body, of a different body, you must start with the body you have right now. And in order to start with the body you have right now, you have to enter the body you have right now. You have to relax into the body you have right now. You have to go, okay, here I am. Let me locate myself on the map. This is me. Having the body you want actually requires that you want the body that you have. Did you follow that? Having the body you want in the future requires that you want this body that you have right now. Somebody's got to want you. Might as well be you. Loving yourself into weight loss means that you begin to accept, just accept the simple fact, this is the body I have right now. Chances are you've been rejecting the body you have right now. You've been bullying it. You've been attacking it. You've been not liking it. You've been starving it. You've been exercising it to death. Whatever you've been doing to it, you've been demanding that it be different. And that hasn't worked. So, loving yourself into weight loss, that's what I'm suggesting is your new strategy. Means that, okay, this is the body I'm starting out with. Might as well befriend it. Stop making it your enemy. Stop fighting it. Stop bullying it. Stop forcing it and coercing it and abusing it with your words and your thoughts and your actions. Because if you're doing that, guess what? You're in a physiologic stress response. You're attacking your own body. You're looking at your own body as the enemy. And you're creating stress chemistry and stress physiology, which takes you in the exact opposite direction of where you want to go. Very simple in concept, my friends. It's an old habit. It's an old habit that we've learned from the world because the world has conditioned people to believe you need to hate on yourself in order to shape-shift your body. You need to hate on yourself in order to lose weight. Says who? And prove it to me. Prove it to me that that's worked for you or for anyone. You can't. If your friends or your loved ones criticize your body in the same way you do, they wouldn't be your friends. You wouldn't tolerate the same harsh words that you say to yourself from the people you care about. I'm telling you, in 40 plus years of doing this work, I've never met anyone who said, I rejected and I criticized my body. I hated it as much as I possibly could. I didn't speak kindly to it at all. And one day I finally woke up, I was at my ideal weight, and I lived happily ever after. Doesn't happen. If the road you're taking on your weight loss journey is filled with self-attack and self-loathing, that's going to be your destination. If you take a road that has some love, light, some kindness, care, self-nourishment, that's going to be your destination. Love, kindness, self-care, self-nourishment. You know what that does? Let's just put it in scientific terms, because that sounds a little, might sound a little bit airy to you, but love and kindness and self-care and self-nourishment puts you in the physiologic relaxation response. Right? Love relaxes you. Kindness, if you're receiving kindness or giving kindness, relaxes you. Receiving love or giving love relaxes you. You're caring for yourself or another. You're relaxed. You're feeling self-nourished by how you're eating, how you're moving your body. That relaxes us. And when you're in a physiologic relaxation response, you're in the optimum state of digestion and assimilation. So you're properly absorbing what you need from your food. You're in your most natural and easy appetite regulation. And you're in your optimum day in, day out calorie burning capacity. It's stunning. It's just the simple science of how what you know in your heart is actually true. What you know in your heart is abuse doesn't move us forward. Meanness to self or others doesn't move us forward. Attacking your own body doesn't move you forward. Treat the body you have right now as if it were the exact body you want to have. Love it, honor it, enjoy it as best you can. Well, you can say, well, how can I love the body? It's too fat. It's too this. It's ugly. It's Yeah, so you can keep saying that. And you'll be right. You've proven to yourself and everybody else why you are unlovable right now. And you're putting yourself in a physiochemical state that is basically telling your body to store weight, store fat, and not build your calorie burning tissue, muscle. You're telling your body to deregulate appetite. And you're going against your soul's code. You're attacking as a way of trying to transform yourself and become a happier person. We've been so conditioned by the world to think that this is a viable strategy. So you didn't invent it. You caught this from the world like a bad virus, and you're the one that takes responsibility for ridding yourself of this unwanted intruder called the viral belief that I have to self-hate and self-loathe in order to lose weight and then be happy. Our relationship with food is a great teacher. Emotional eating is a great teacher. Weight, if you're trying to lose it, is a great teacher. Weight is not just this stuff on your body that's this enemy. It's part of your body. I get you don't like it. And what's it teaching you? And yeah, sometimes extra weight on my body might be teaching me I need to change my diet. I need to eat better. I need to eat different. I need to regulate what I eat. Yeah, it might be very nutrition based. And sometimes extra weight on the body is calling us to stop attacking the body. It's calling us to go about our journey, not just your weight loss journey, because your weight loss journey is a subset of your life journey, because it's your life. This is part of your life. So weight loss as a great teacher for many of us is teaching us that we got to love ourselves into change. We got to love ourselves into transformation. So we've got to choose to drop out of the weight loss mentality that says, if I don't lose weight, then I've lost at life. If I don't lose weight, I'm a failure. If I don't lose weight, I'm unlovable. I have nothing to live for. That, my friend, is wasting valuable time in your life. You are letting a toxic way of thinking steal away your years. That's what you're doing. And you can claim them back right now. You do your best along your weight loss journey, and then you let the chips fall where they may. You don't abandon yourself just because you didn't reach your ideal weight, your ideal number. That's what people do. We abandon ourselves. We check out. I'm mad at you, we say to self. And therefore, I'm going to punish you. Therefore, I'm going to belittle you. Therefore, I'm not going to like you. Therefore, I'm going to treat you bad. Therefore, I'm not going to let you have a good life because you don't deserve it. I'm not going to let you have love because you don't deserve it. I'm not going to let you enjoy because you don't deserve it. I'm not going to let you self-express because you don't deserve it because you look like this. That's pretty shallow thinking. So, the good news is the optimum day in, day out, mental, emotional, and metabolic state for your most natural weight, once again, is the physiologic relaxation response, parasympathetic nervous system dominance. And I really want to emphasize how the relaxation response doesn't just mean like meditating. Like people hear relaxation response, oh, that must mean I meditate or I do yoga. Like, sure. That's all great. But it's about how you live your life. We generate a relaxation response. We are in relaxation response when we're at peace in any given moment. You're in a physiologic relaxation response when you have trust, when you're trusting your life, when you're trusting yourself, when you trust a loved one. The state of trust, I can relax. Whenever you're feeling safe for any reason. If you're feeling unsafe, you're in stress. Well, the moment you feel safe, I feel safe with this person, relaxation response. I feel safe with myself because I'm not self-attacking, relaxation response. When you have faith in something bigger than you, faith in your life, faith in a higher power, faith that it's okay, things are going to somehow work out, you're in a relaxation response. If you're feeling joy, relaxation response. When you're engaged with life, when you're giving your best gifts, you're not stressed and freaking out, you're in a relaxation response. When you're being creative in any way, relaxation response. When you're expressing love, big time relaxation response. When you're in love, relaxation response. Sharing love, receiving love. Physiologic relaxation response. If you're being kind or compassionate, or you're receiving kindness or compassion, relaxation response. So it's your way of being in life. All of these put us in a relaxation response. Anything that gives you pleasure is going to put you in a relaxation response. And as you know, we do all our best calorie burning there. Our best digestion, our best assimilation, our best appetite regulation, all that from living your best life. All of that from invoking and bringing in and practicing the higher qualities of love, of kindness, of caring, of forgiveness, of commitment, of faith, of trust. You know, for sure, you're intensely burning calories during exercise. I get it. But that's about 1 hour a day for most people. Bulk of your calories in the other 23 hours a day, that's when they're burned. So if I'm living in a constant stress state, especially the kind of stress that's self-chosen, you know what self-chosen stress means, self-attack, self-hate, negative self-talk, you're changing your metabolism with your mind, you're skewing the probability curve towards weight gain or weight loss resistance. And then you wonder what's wrong with you. You get mad at yourself. More stress. More weight loss resistance. More dieting, which causes more stress, which causes more failure, which causes more self-attack. which causes more emotional eating. Woo! Gotta get off that train. This is all about working with how your physiology, how your neurology are naturally designed. We have the highest probability of finding our natural weight when we have more relaxation response in our life. And as I hope you're seeing, that relaxation response, more relaxation response, again, doesn't just happen in yoga and meditation. It happens when you're living your best life. It happens when you're sharing your best qualities, the best qualities of being human, trusting, loving, giving, nourishing, being intimate, being caring, being in love, giving love, share all of that. And yet we have all these strange habits. Food is the enemy, and that's going to put us in stress physiology. But if you believe food is your friend, whew, no more energy, I can relax. And now you're in relaxation physiology. No, I got to be perfect. I got to have the perfect body, got to have the perfect weight, I got to have the perfect shape, eat the perfect diet. Woof, just hearing that is going to put me in a stress response, it's going to put you in a stress response. But the moment you let go of perfectionism, the moment you embrace your beautiful imperfection, we're messy. We ain't perfect. Oh, I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to be a perfect human being anymore because that wasn't working. You relax. If you've been self-attacking for years, no wonder it's been hard to lose weight sustainably. That's stress response. Got to call off the dogs. That's relaxation response. When you take away weight loss as the only way you'll ever be happy, you know, if only I was thin, if only I lose weight, then I'm going to be happy. Otherwise, I'm not going to be happy. So then every time you see that number on the scale going up, whoa, you will not be happy. You're going to be stressed. You're going to be anxious. You're going to be upset. Because we oftentimes make weight loss as the number one requirement for my happiness. That's too much pressure on yourself and a bunch of body fat. That's going to put you in a lot of stress. And it's going to actually take you in the opposite direction of where you want to go anyway. So you have to start to trust your life, trust your journey. Be grateful for what you have right now. Relax. If you're constantly thinking that you're not enough, if you don't appreciate what you have, it's not going to take you where you want to go. So we can't sweep our inner world under the rug. You can't sweep your inner thoughts under the rug and pretend that these don't have a profound influence. Your thoughts, your beliefs, your emotions, they are directly impacting your metabolism. They are directly impact your ability to burn calories. And all that is driving or not our emotional eating. Every time you curse your body or your life, every time you believe that you're unlovable as you are right now, you create the ideal conditions to emotionally eat. Because you're in pain. You're in upset. And you've got to do something about that. That's your biological imperative. If I'm in pain and upset and stress and anxiety, you want out of that because that's not your natural state. It's the body understands it's not a healthy state to be in for long. The body wants you to be in a stress response for 2 to 3 minutes when the animal is chasing you in nature, when the carnivore is trying to eat you. That's when your body wants you to be in a full-blown stress response. Otherwise, your body wants you out of the stress response. So it's going to do everything it can to help you get out. It's going to help you find things to do to feel bad, to feel better. And we all remember, we all know, in our genetics, in our DNA, in our life memory, feel bad, eat food, feel better. So you don't have a food problem. In a strange way, you don't have a weight problem. Your weight is here to teach you. Your emotional eating is here to teach you. These are great teachers. Great teachers teach us great lessons, meaning big lessons, meaning important ones. When it comes to weight, emotional eating is asking a lot of us to grow and mature into a new way of being with ourselves and the world. If you're dealing with emotional eating and weight, emotional eating is asking us, really just examine your inner world. Clean up your toxic beliefs. Stop attacking and self-hating. Step into love and gratitude and kindness. Enter the body you have right now. Start to accept it. Start with where you're at right now. In order to get where you want to go, you have to know where you are. You have to be where you are. You have to accept where you are. I don't know. If you were driving around and you're going to visit your friend and you're lost, you're completely lost. You don't know how to get to their house, and you call them up and you say, I'm trying to get to your house. I'm lost. Now, what's the first question they're going to ask you? Well, where are you? And if you can identify where you are, they can help you get to where you want to go. But if you say, well, I hate where I am. I don't want to talk about where I am. Where I am is terrible. It's ugly. It's bad. Not going to face it. Not going to deal with it. Sweeping it under the rug. There's no good where I am. Well, that's not going to get you anywhere. We got to go, okay, here's where I am. That's what helps you get where you want to go. You're starting with the body that you have right now. You're not starting with the body you're going to have in the future in order to live your real life. Life is not going to let you get away with that. That's what I'm trying to say. I haven't seen people do it. Yeah, you can bully your body into weight loss, but then you're going to constantly be monitoring yourself. And I meet people who force their body into weight loss who are not happy. Like, literally, they're not happy. And a lot of times, they're less happy because they're afraid to gain it back. They're still not enjoying themselves. They're still not inhabiting and receiving pleasure because the old patterns haven't changed. So emotional eating and weight, it's asking us to relax into our journey much, much more. So let me make this more specific. And what I think is a life-changing suggestion to you. Stop making weight loss your number one life's purpose. Stop making it the single most important thing in your existence. Yeah, weight loss can be important to you. Fine. Bring it down the list. There should be at least two or three or four or five other things that are more important in your life than weight loss. Because that's what I see a lot of people do. They secretly make weight loss the most important thing in their life. You could be married, you could have kids, but you're thinking about food and body and weight more than you're thinking about partner and kids. You're worrying about it more. It's occupying you more. It's dragging you down. You did not come into this world to focus the majority of your energy on weight loss. Your life is bigger than that. Don't give weight loss the honor of being the number one priority in your world. It doesn't deserve that. Make it a side activity and make your life the most important thing in your life, not weight loss. Give your gifts. Reach your personal potential. Be who you came here to be. Grow spiritually. Improve your relationships. Be a better human being. Mentor people. Help others. Make weight loss secondary, at the least, to all that. Got to get your priorities in order. When you put first things first, you're in alignment with the natural order of the universe. And from that place, finding your natural weight and sustaining it becomes far easier. When you become the person, more and more, that you're meant to be, the body has the best chance to reach its potential and to become what it's meant to be, meaning to find its natural health and its natural weight. Did you catch that? That's all about the mind, body, spirit, heart, soul, body connection. When you, as you become the person that you're meant to be, as you fulfill your best potential in this world, fulfilling your best potential means you become the best version of you, the most self-expressed version of you, the best parent, the best sibling that you can be, the best at doing your mission, your purpose, giving your gifts, giving love, sharing. As you become the best version of you, your body has the best chance to become the best version of it. Mind and body track one another. It's just how it works. We're seeing that. We're learning so much about that. Mind and body are tracking one another. Stop thinking that a bunch of body pounds off of your body is then going to magically make you live your best life. No, living your best life makes you live your best life. You start there. Yeah, you can still do weight loss efforts, but you gotta start with first things first. First things first means getting rid of the toxic belief that I'm only gonna be happy, I'm only gonna be the real me when I lose the weight. No, you're gonna be the real me as soon as you decide to. So with all that in mind, let's look at a practice that you can do that you can really powerfully help yourself on your weight loss journey and help you with emotional eating. This practice, let's call it embodiment. I just love that word, embodiment. Embodiment means that you occupy the body that you have right now. You inhabit it. You own your body. You feel what it feels. You nourish it. You stay present to it. You notice your body. You partner with it. You get intimate with it. You learn about it more. You get curious about it. Embodiment means you listen to the body. Just about always. You get to know your body on its terms. You've been forcing your terms on the body. You gotta look like this. You gotta look like that. No. Start learning about what the body actually is and what it does and what it wants. What are its terms? You stop trying to change it, first and foremost, and you start inhabiting it before you go about pushing all the buttons and dials and trying to make it different. You start enjoying it for what it is right now, for what it can do right now, no matter how limited you say it is or you think it is or it is. I want to say that embodiment is, it's the royal road to happiness in your body. Embodiment creates the optimum conditions for reaching, for finding your natural weight and creating your best relationship with food. To help you understand the concept of embodiment better, if it's not landing for you, think of it this way. Have you ever met someone who feels like they live in their head, you know? The head for them is just kind of where it's at. The body's almost like a life support system for the head. So the person isn't really connected to their body. They're more comfortable in their mind, and they just kind of drag the body along with them. So that would be the definition of disembodiment. I'm just checking out of my body. Head's much more interesting to me. Head's much more comfortable. Don't want to deal with this thing. Embodiment is occupying all of you, not just the head. Embodiment is being connected to your senses, taste, touch, smell, sight, sounds. Embodiment means you can find delight in the littlest movements of your body. You can find pleasure in simple things, breathing fresh air, hearing beautiful music, just letting life just impact you in a good way, enjoying good food. Simply feeling good to be alive in the body you have right now. Your body doesn't have to change for you to take a deep breath and go, ah, feels good to be alive. This body feels good. Embodiment is a practice. You get better at it the more you do it. From the moment you are born, you are learning to embody. You learn that coming in contact with something hot or sharp, that's painful. You learn that touch can be pleasurable. It can be good. You learn that tickling can be fun. You learn to crawl. That's embodiment. Then you learn to walk. That's embodiment. You learn the coordination it takes to button your shirt or tie your shoe. That's embodiment. You learn to throw the ball and catch it. That's embodiment. You learn that sex and sexuality is pleasurable. That's embodiment. Anything you do, you learn to drive a car. That's embodiment. think you're getting the picture here. We're entering this body throughout the course of our life. We're learning how to be in it in a way that works, in a way that works for us, in a way that works best for your health, in the way that works best for your weight, in a way that works best for your relationship with food, in a way that works best for your happiness. It's not always easy. Being in a body is not easy. Body gets sick, body gets old, the body has pains, the body has diseases, the body has symptoms. Things break, bones break. Yish, not easy to be in a body. People hurt us, our feelings are hurt. Where do you feel your feelings? They're in your body. So bad feelings are felt in the body. That's one reason why human beings would disembody, because we don't like bad feelings. So let me just check out and not feel them. So that's the challenge. There are experiences that are painful. You have maybe been abandoned or betrayed. You had some bad parenting. You were bullied. You maybe were physically abused or sexually abused. We were made to feel bad about our body or our weight at a young age. So when we experience such pains, again, these pains are felt in the body. And we often cope by checking out. We cope by disembodying. Disembodying helps us to not feel uncomfortable, unwanted feelings. So I want to point out, it is perfectly understandable. It's a reasonable coping strategy for when we're young and we don't know how to process and metabolize difficult life experiences. When you're young and there's all kind of emotions, all kind of things going on that, whoa, this hurts. This is painful. This is confusing. I don't understand that. Part of us just does what we know how to do, which is to check out. I'm just not going to feel. I'm going to disembody. Now, I want to emphasize that point. Really, if you've disembodied to any degree, let's state it in a different way, you have a good reason. It's a strategy that helped you cope. So you had a good reason for it. And ongoingly, we might disembody. We just might check out. And disembodying doesn't quite serve us in the long run. Doesn't always serve us in the short run. Certainly doesn't serve us as we get older. You know, the moment we disembody, it becomes easier to not notice the body, to not notice what it needs, to not notice how it feels, to not notice what works or what doesn't work for it. We become dissociated from our own appetite, from our own hunger. It's far more easy to emotionally eat when I'm checked out, when I'm disembodied. In fact, most of the time when you emotionally eat, you check out, you disembody, you leave. You leave, somebody else comes in. The child, the infant, the kid, the teenager, the rebel, and they start making the choices. And they're not always good choices. So our task in life is to learn how to better and better inhabit our body. That's what you're doing since you've been young. Your parents were doing their best, like, here's what you got to do to be in a body. Get better and better about being in your body. I mean, feeling your feelings, nourish the body, care for it, help it heal when it's sick. Make it feel good. Make it feel pleasure. Life can be difficult when you're a human being and we need to have some goodness. We need to have pleasure. But here's the thing. We believe that, hey, yeah, I've disembodied to some degree, but I will inhabit my body once it's at my ideal weight. I'm going to get back in my body. I'm going to enjoy my body. And I'm going to occupy it once it's perfect. Once I get the shape I want and once I hit that magic number, then I'll occupy my body. But until then, I refuse. Not going to be in this body. Not going to enjoy it. Not going to love it. Not going to nourish it. Not going to really pay attention to it. Not going to inhabit it because it's the enemy. It's bad. It's not the real me. It's no good. Can you see the problem with that thinking? Problem is, we're not inhabiting the body, our body, right now. We're putting it off into some future date that might never come. You're denying yourself joy and pleasure because we're falsely believing that only a body that has my version of ideal weight or ideal shape deserves to feel good, deserves to feel pleasure and love. So you become the judge of what kind of body deserves to feel good. Only my body, if it weighs a certain amount, will deserve to feel good, will deserve love. Wow. Think of how tough, think of how mean that could sound. You know, we do this. Oftentimes, we learn that thinking from the world. Not inhabit our body. If you don't inhabit your body, meaning disembodying, it actually makes weight loss far more difficult. If you're checking out of your body, if you're refusing to inhabit your body because this is mean, this is a bad body, I don't like it, I'll inhabit this body when it loses weights, and then I'm going to be in all kind of nourishment and pleasure and goodness and confidence and etc. But you're actually making it way more difficult to lose weight. Here's what I mean. If you want to lose weight, you're making a big biological ask of the body. Think about it. You're asking your body to change its physical form in a radical way. You're asking it to shape-shift. I'm just acknowledging that this is a big request. It's a fine request. It's a big one, though. Here's a secret. You cannot shape-shift the body. This is a secret. Can't shape-shift the body unless you inhabit it. You can't shape-shift the body unless you are in it. It's just like driving a car. You want the car to go somewhere? Get in it. You got to get in the machine, and you got to sit in it, and you got to relax into it, and you got to do the things to make that car go. And while you're driving that car, you have to be present in it so you can be safe, and you can follow the rules of the road, so you can get where you want to go. You wouldn't say to yourself, you know, today I refuse to get in my car and go about all my business until my car turns into a Rolls Royce. Not going to get in my car. You can say that, but you're not going to get anywhere. Literally. So my suggestion is to stop promising yourself that you will inhabit your body once it looks a certain way or weighs a certain amount. Life doesn't work that way. Weight loss doesn't work that way. If it did, it would have for you and for all the other people trying this strategy. Good news is, when you choose to begin to inhabit the body you have right now, whatever it weighs, however it looks, the magic slowly begins to happen. You find a new connection to yourself. You let go of so much stress and fight. You begin to enjoy your life more. You begin to enjoy your body more. You actually have good feelings about your body, even though your body's not perfect. You step out of victim consciousness. You start to be more of a hero in your own life. You're taking responsibility for yourself. Your body's going to feel better because it's not under siege. You're loving it. And you're putting yourself in the relaxation response because you're loving your body. You're nourishing it. You're caring for it. You're not fighting it. You're inhabiting it. You're finally doing to your body what your body wants, which is just enter me, stop bullying me. So you're in the relaxation response. You're in parasympathetic nervous system dominance, the optimum state of weight loss, the optimum state of your best and most easiest natural appetite regulation. That's simply how you and I are intelligently designed. So, the key to getting the tremendous benefits of embodiment is to adopt an embodiment practice. Got to practice. And it's a lifelong practice because you're always going to be in a body until you're not anymore, until you die. So essentially, it's all about learning more and more, better and better, how to be in your body in a way that gives you your best experience of life. You will never again be as young as you are right now. So this is the time for you to inhabit your body, to get back inside in a whole new way. Here's my suggestion on how to begin doing this. First, write down an inventory of everything in life that makes you feel good to be in your body, that makes you feel good to be alive. Just everything that makes me feel good to be in a body, good to be alive. Persons, places, things, thoughts, feelings, beliefs, experiences. It's a list of everything you could think of that brings you some amount of pleasure, puts a smile on your face, and has you happy to be alive in that moment, alive and in my body, happy to be alive. So some examples can include, sure, exercise, any way of stretching that gives you pleasure, running. This could be walking, it could be hiking, it could be dancing, it could be listening to music. It doesn't have to be something that's calorie burning. Listening to music is you're embodying. Being on a bicycle, doing yoga, stretching, swimming, skiing, being in some water, spending time in nature, going to a favorite power spot outdoors, taking a bath or a shower, any kind of beauty care is you embodying, getting a massage, receiving some touch, sex, dressing in your favorite clothes, deep breathing, going to have fun somewhere, go to an amusement park, riding a horse, eating certain foods, enjoying a good drink, listening to the sounds of nature, playing with your pet, looking and enjoying anything that you experience as beautiful, playing any sport, playing any game that gets you smiling, feeling any feeling you have to the fullest, giving love, singing out loud, whatever makes you feel grateful to be alive and in your body. And be aware, you know, a lot of times we could be doing a physical activity, but we can sort of be disembodied in a certain way. You know, sometimes I go to the gym and I watch people and they'll be on the treadmill and yeah, they're walking or they're running, but you know, they're all hooked up and they're watching TV and they're reading something. And it just looks like, are you really being in your body? Like, are you really present in there? You can be doing yoga. But if, you know, and yoga teachers talk about this all the time, if you're in your head the whole time you're doing yoga and you're comparing yourself to other people, if you're worrying about how you look, and if you're being embarrassed about your weight, then you're not in your body, even though you're doing yoga. So embodiment is a deeper level of dropping in and letting go of the talky talk while you enjoy the sensations of being alive on planet Earth and being in a body. So you're letting go of the talk. You're letting go of the negative talk. You're letting go of self-attack. You're letting go of comparison. You're letting go of worry. And in that moment, you're dropping into the experience. You're being present. You're not thinking about the past and worrying about that. You're not worrying about the future. You're being in your body here right now. I know you've had that experience so many times. Now, once this list feels complete, and you can keep adding to it, start doing as much as you can on that list, as often as you can, at least every day. Choose something or things that reliably get you in your body and has you good, feeling good about being in your body every day of the week. Even if it's for 5 minutes, be present with yourself, be present in your body, feel whatever it's feeling, notice your body, be explorative with it, be curious about it, be more childlike in it. Next time you see an infant or a toddler, notice how they have a natural delight for being in their body. That's the part of yourself you're looking to invoke, to rediscover, to celebrate. Meanwhile, let go of any activity that you're doing out of punishment, any kind of exercise, any kind of movement. If you're doing out of punishment, punishment for having body fat, punishment for eating food, if it doesn't bring you any kind of positivity, then you ought not be doing it. As far as we know, you got one life, you got one body, only you can choose to make the best of it. Don't live your life exclusively in your head. Don't abandon your body because it doesn't live up to your demands about its weight or its shape. This is about you taking baby steps to gradually befriend your body, to inhabit it, to enjoy it. Here's a journaling exercise for this week. Put your thoughts down on computer or paper about the following. Who would I be if all the energy I put into weight loss? Who would I be if all the energy I put into weight loss, constantly thinking about weight, worrying about food, dreaming about weight loss, obsessing about it, punishing and judging, feeling guilt and shame, etc., all that worry around weight, who would I be if all that energy was available for the rest of my life? What would I do with that energy? What good things would I use it for? How could I use that energy to live my best life? Who would I give more attention to? What creative projects would I do with that energy? What new things would I want to learn? How would I best channel that energy that's being channeled into weight worry? So once that inventory is complete, your job is to follow it. Make it your Bible. Live by it. Practice it. Harness all the energy that you put into weight worry or weight shame and start to channel it into goodness for you, for your life, for the people around you, for your loved ones. Revisit what you've written every day and be sure you're creating a new path for yourself, a new way of living and expressing your energy. Next, to help you rechannel your valuable life energy that's been going into weight and perfection, it's time to do something new. If you've been a lifelong dieter, okay, if you've been a lifelong dieter, this clearly means you have not sustainably lost weight with whatever strategies you've been using. Your approach hasn't worked. So let's just acknowledge that. No blame. You're just doing the strategies that you've been taught, that you think work, that science has told you these work, even though they don't work and they haven't worked for you and for 98 to 99% of all the other people who've gone on a weight loss diet. So your approach hasn't worked. That means it's time to do something completely different. It's time to just change things up. Many people need to give weight loss a vacation. We need to experience what life is like if most of our psychic energy wasn't going into weight loss. So if you haven't already adopted this practice, I talked about this in session number 6, I want you to put yourself on a 4-month no diet diet. So you've been trying to lose weight unsuccessfully, unsustainably, for years or decades. You absolutely got to do this. Just got to do it. Got to do it because your way hasn't worked. Again, no blame. Put yourself on a 4-month, no diet, diet. Meaning you're putting aside weight loss. You're taking it off the table for this temporary and prescribed amount of time. You're giving it a vacation. You're calling a weight loss timeout. Stop weighing yourself, stop counting calories, stop skipping meals, stop underfeeding, stop giving your life force over to changing your body. Just give it a rest. That's all. Just give it a rest. Give your mind a rest. Stop the bullying. Stop trying to force your body to do anything and just let your body be for 4 months. Just let it be. Just stop. Just let it be what it is. This is what it is. Pretend this is going to be your body for the rest of your life. Now, this doesn't mean that you throw away all your good, healthy habits. It doesn't mean you eat whatever you want, whenever you want it, because that's what this guy's saying. No, you keep taking care of yourself in a good way with food. You're simply choosing, and maybe for the first time ever, to experience your life, just 4 months of it, without trying to lose weight, without being on a diet, without being in dieting consciousness. Again, this is the body you're going to have for the rest of your life. Pretend that. So enjoy your life with it. Stop assaulting the body with unkind words and thoughts. Celebrate this body, this life right now. This could truly be one of the most important practices you can do for yourself when it comes to having a breakthrough with emotional eating and with weight and with your life. Here's a journaling exercise to help with the 4-month no diet diet. Ask yourself, what do I expect as the end result of losing weight and having the body I want? Who do I imagine I'll be? How will life be different? How will I be different? I want you to be really specific. How will you act, socialize, speak? How are you going to feel? How are you going to move? What will your confidence be like? Are you going to feel sexier when you have the body you want? You're going to try new things. Really be as thorough and list out everything you can in describing who this new you is going to be once you have your ideal body. Then I want you to look at this list and see what you can do right now on that list. Practice being that person today, the one you're promising yourself that you're going to be in the distant future. Reminder, people want to lose weight to be happy. Only reason why you want to lose weight, you want to be happy. Yeah, I'm going to be lighter. Yeah, I'm going to fit into my skinny clothes. Yeah, but that's you being happier. Well, start creating happiness in your life now. If you imagine you're going to be more confident when you lose the weight, be confident now. If you think you're going to be more outgoing, if you're going to speak your mind more, do that now. If you think you're going to be more sexy now. So many people think to themselves that only thin people or those with a certain kind of look or shape can experience sexiness and pleasure and confidence. It's just not true. Have you ever met someone or observed someone who is a big-bodied person, somebody that you might consider fat, other people might consider fat, yet that woman or that man was embodying their sexiness, their hotness, their confidence, their power. They're expressing their best self and they're good with who they are. Perfect weight, your ideal weight, guarantees you nothing. This is the time to live the life that you came here to live. Now, I know that if you want to lose weight, that it's important to you, that it feels like the most important thing. So many people just want the secret answer to finally losing the weight and never having to worry about it ever again. And just let that go, because such a secret does not exist. Such a quick fix doesn't exist. Your weight loss journey is teaching you. What I'm suggesting is put yourself in a powerful learning environment, because if your weight loss journey has been telling you for a long time your strategy is not working, the way you've been going about your business of losing weight isn't working, then your weight loss journey is probably saying to you, you got to do something else. And what I'm suggesting to you is the something else that I'm suggesting is a very powerful something else. It's a very powerful strategy, because it's time for you to experience who you are without the demand for weight loss looming large over you. It's time for you to have a vacation and experience some freedom. You can always go back to your old weight loss ways. But I bet in that 4 months, you're going to discover some things. You're going to notice some things. You're going to have some aha moments. Your body might change. So in essence, what you're doing here is you're changing your mind. You're changing your beliefs. You're changing your approach. You're being new. You're trying something new. You're calling a timeout. You're letting go of weight loss just for a while, just as an experiment, just to see what happens in your life. Live your life as if weight loss was no longer necessary to live your best life. So you owe this to your body. You owe this to yourself. So, as always, we've covered so much great material today. We've taken a deep dive into emotional eating and our relationship with weight loss. Please give yourself the gift of doing the practices and journaling exercise. That's always your royal road to freedom with food, freedom with emotional eating, and finding happiness with your body. You really deserve to be free to live your best life now. It's all about the now. So, my friends, this concludes session number 8 of the Emotional Eating Breakthrough Program. I will see you in the next session. Take care. Thanks for joining me.